cloud. Don't think of the kind of water vapor cloud we see in our sky. Think of an enormous mass of dust and gas out in deep space. When the cloud moved in front of the hole, the X-rays disappeared. When the cloud passed by, they reappeared. Knowing the size of the cloud and its speed then allowed scientists to determine how big the X-ray disk must be. How big was it? Fairly small by galactic standards. If it were centered on the Sun, it would only stretch out past Mars. This moment of science comes from Indiana University. Today's program was prepared by William Oram with help from Catherine Pilichowski in astronomy. For A Moment of Science, I'm Don Glass.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from Lincoln Square Village in Urbana, the same square with a new angle, now with shops, offices, activity, and dining facilities, including Pretty Nails and Mr. John's School of Cosmetology.
Well, in baseball action this afternoon, Detroit leading Seattle 9-2 in the bottom of the seventh, Texas leading Minnesota 6-3 in the bottom of the sixth, and Boston leads Kansas City 5-3 in the top of the fifth. All the games in the American League, and the White Sox will be hosting Cleveland tonight. Cubs and Cards both have the day off today. Illinois plays top seed Michigan at 6:05 as the Big Ten Conference Tournament continues in Ann Arbor. Testifying today at the trial of former coach Trevor Graham, Olympic gold medal sprinter Antonio Pettigrew admitted publicly for the first time that he took performance-enhancing drugs with Graham's encouragement. Graham is accused of lying to federal authorities investigating doping. He has pleaded not guilty. The Celtics and Pistons play Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals this evening in Boston. The home team won Tuesday's opener in Boston, 88-79. Detroit's hoping to get a better Game 2 from Chauncey Billups. The veteran point guard returned to the lineup after sitting out two games and most of a third with a hamstring injury and just 9 points and 2 assists in Game 1. The Lakers in San Antonio will play Game 2 of the NBA Western Conference Finals tomorrow night in Los Angeles, and L.A. came back from a 20-point deficit last night to win the series opener, 89-85. This week's PGA Tour stop is Fort Worth, Texas, where round one of the Crown Plaza Invitational at Colonial is being played today. Johnson Wagner is in the clubhouse with the lead by 3 strokes at 7-under-63. They are playing round one of the LPGA Corning Classic today in New York's Southern Tier. And Erica Blassberg grabbed the clubhouse lead with a 7-under-par-65 in that tournament. The senior PGA Championship is being held in Rochester, New York at 1-under-69. Jay Haas is sitting atop the clubhouse leaderboard, 1 shot better than Jeff Sluman, as first-round play continues. That's a look at sports.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Provena Medical Group, where doctors treat people, not illness. More information available at 1-866-PROVENA. The physicians of Provena Medical Group encourage you to join them in supporting WILL.
It's 2:43. Well, American Airlines has announced its biggest cuts in service since 9/11, and it's also adding a new baggage fee. NPR's Scott Horsley reports.
American Airlines CEO says the industry wasn't built to withstand oil prices that are this high. 8 other airlines have already filed for bankruptcy this year, and 5 have quit flying altogether. David Castlevetter of the Air Transport Association says airline fuel prices have more than tripled since the year 2000, while airline ticket prices have barely budged.
Every time we see the price of fuel go up a dollar, this industry absorbs about $465 million in additional expenses.
American is hoping to recoup part of its additional fuel cost with a new surcharge of $15 for a checked bag. The charge goes into effect with tickets purchased starting June 15th. Castlevetter says this kind of charge is a way for airlines to raise revenue without having to raise overall fares.
The customers have said, if I don't want a meal, don't charge me for it. If I don't travel with checked luggage, don't charge me for it. So the carriers have stripped away a lot of those services, and now they're charging you for it.
Some air travelers may prefer this a la carte pricing, but not Mark Stadenbauer, who was getting off an American Airlines flight in Chicago yesterday. He thinks the extra charge on checked suitcases could backfire.
It's going to be more stuff that goes into the plane, people jamming bags up top. One bag checked is actually good for the plane rather than having people carry everything on and filling up the overhead space.
And it's not just the overhead bins that are getting more crowded. American is planning to eliminate about 11% of its daily flights beginning in October. The Air Transport Association's Castlevetter says the announcement of the cutback comes at a time when planes are already flying about 85% full.
You know, especially in key markets, heavily traveled popular markets, going in and out of Florida, for example, you know, oftentimes you'll find every seat on every airplane full.
By eliminating flights and parking up to 85 planes, American expects to save on fuel and labor costs. As planes get more crowded, the airline industry as a whole will be in a better position to raise ticket prices. That's not good news for the corporate travelers that Bill Connors represents at the National Business Travel Association, but he acknowledges airlines don't have much choice.
They've cut costs everywhere they could cut, and it still hasn't paid off for them because of the oil situation. So, yeah, we are very aware that there are going to be some pricing implications over the next few months as long as oil stays where it's at.
Connors notes that even as they scale back on domestic service, airlines are not scrapping the international routes that are in growing demand with business travelers.
Big corporations, to be competitive, they need to be in places like Brazil and China and India. They need to be in the emerging markets. So we don't think that travel is going to decline, and that's what I think the airlines are betting on, too.
It's those emerging markets and their growing demand for oil that's helping to keep the cost of jet fuel sky high. Scott Horsley, NPR News.
Well, boat owners are also feeling the pain of high fuel prices, and it's affecting business owners in New Hampshire's Lakes region, which normally draws millions of boat owners each year. Shannon Mullen has this report.
Glendale Marine has been selling, renting, and storing boats on the shores of Lake Winnipesaukee for 26 years. Owner Paul Dupre says a big part of his business is moving 20 to 30 foot powerboats between the water and his storage racks as their owners come and go.
We're inside a storage building. You can see some of the empty racks as we start to remove stuff for spring launch.
Most of the spots in Dupre's three-story racks are full. The building holds upwards of 150 pontoons, outboard runabouts, speedboats, and bow riders. And this year, he says 30% of the boat's owners plan to leave them here.
They're saying, put my boat up for sale or put my boat in storage for the year. We're not going to use it.
Dupre blames high gas prices. Up the road at Mountain View Yacht Club, manager Phil Arell says members tell him fuel is not the only factor.
The economy is real bad, and they're all weighing what they cut out of their lives. And in most cases, it's the toys or the pleasure, and most boats are pleasure craft.
Arell says about 20% of the facility's nearly 300 privately owned boat slips are empty, while in past years there have been waiting lists to fill them. Sales of some new boats are up. Marinas here say the most expensive models are moving. But there are also more used boats on the market. Mike Audess has listed his gas-guzzling Baja speedboat for weeks without an offer.
It's a 28-footer, and the average cost is about $400 now to fill the tank.
Whether he sells it or not, Audess says this summer he'll be taking his family out on the water on their 24-foot sailboat.
Because even the worst day on sailing, you get back to the dock, you haven't spent a dime.
The 230-foot cruise ship Mount Washington burns about 70,000 gallons of diesel fuel per season, running several tours of the lake each day. Owner and captain Jim Morash says this is the first year fuel costs have been a threat to his bottom line. But he's not raising rates. Instead, he's hoping to fill up the boat with tourists taking local vacations to save money.
People staying closer to home this year for the summertime and visiting maybe some of their diamonds in their own backyard.
And Morash says for most New Englanders, the Lakes region is a jewel that's just half a tank of gas away. For NPR News, I'm Shannon Mullen.
Well, coming up at 3 o'clock on PRI's The World, take a trip to Brazil's rainforest, actually above the rainforest. Climate scientists there are monitoring vital signs to gauge the health of the Amazon rainforest. We'll have that story and the day's news coming up on The World at 3 o'clock this afternoon. That's about 10 minutes from right now. And again at 7 o'clock this evening here on AM 580.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Prevena Medical Group, where doctors treat people, not illness. More information available at 1-866-PROVENA. The physicians of Prevena Medical Group encourage you to join them in supporting WILL.
Well, in a few cities like Washington, D.C., cash-conscious commuters can pair up with loan drivers and turn the car into a high-occupancy vehicle. The passenger saves a few bucks while the vehicle zips by traffic in HOV lanes. It's all called slugging. And NPR's Elise Spiegel has this report on the rare breed of commuter who's happy to be called a slug.
A nondescript parking lot in suburban Virginia. By 7 a.m., the line of blue and gray business suits stretches down the sidewalk, men and women standing quietly, patiently waiting their turn. As SUVs and station wagons pull to the curb, the driver announces his destination to the person at the head of the line, the caller in slug parlance, who then relays that information to the sluggers behind.
18th and G, 2. 20th and K, 1.
Here's the deal. The driver needs an extra body or two to get into the high occupancy lanes, and so they pick up the sluggers, who get a free ride into the city and a faster commute themselves. The system isn't overseen by any government. It's evolved organically over the years, which doesn't mean that there are no rules. There are. No smoking or eating by driver or slug. Slugs may not adjust windows, talk on cell phones. There's no messing with the radio. These are just some of the rules listed on the Slug Line's website, but not all of them. Kevin Ellison, a balding man with thick glasses and an impish smile, has been slugging for 5 years now. He's clearly a friendly personality. But despite his disposition, Ellison is always careful to observe another unofficial tenet of slugging etiquette.
I have never told my name to anybody. Nobody's ever told me their name. It's not like at a cocktail party. It's I'm doing him a favor, he's doing me a favor. We're each glad that the other one is doing the other one a favor, but we don't give names.
Steve Brevik, a Defense Department worker standing a few feet away, says the same thing. He's been slugging for 17 years.
Very, very seldom. Very, very seldom.
How many names do you think you've exchanged in 17 years?
Half a dozen, maybe, at the most.
5 days a week, year after year, these men and women sit thigh to thigh with their suburban neighbors in a space no bigger than a closet for up to 60 minutes at a time. But no names. And Kevin Ellison says the chit-chat that does occur is highly regulated.
You avoid controversial subjects, avoid religion and politics, and talk about neighborhood affairs.
In the sanctum of the station wagon, there are no sad stories of troubled children or financial ruin. There's no death, no divorce. And, says another slugger, Steve McHale, on the rare occasions when people stray into difficult territory, they're policed.
It starts and then people tend to stop it if it does get going. I mean, I've heard of incidents like that, but people talk about it. Like, yeah, there was some lady talking about, you know, so-and-so politician in the car. She was out of line, so.
Despite these rules, people in San Francisco, in Pittsburgh, in Washington, stand in line by the hundreds. Why?
It's about a 50 to 60 minute trip with the slug. Without the slug, maybe an hour and 20 minutes.
Kevin Ellison says the high occupancy lanes shave close to half an hour off his commute. Here in the Washington suburbs, that's typical. But not everyone in line is there to save time.
Well, actually, it doesn't save time.
Juan Sanchez has been slugging for about a year, even though it turns his 55 minute daily commute into a 2.5 hour odyssey. He has to walk 25 minutes from the drop-off place in D.C., then catch a shuttle to his job as an accountant. But he does it anyway for one simple reason. He has a family, and commuting to D.C. costs a lot of money.
$15, $16 a day. Yeah, because my gasoline takes about $10 right now, according to the prices right now, $10.
Sanchez, like most of the sluggers in line, does not find the slugging rules oppressive. On the contrary, it's a system that allows total strangers to tolerate each other for long periods of time in a very small, enclosed environment. Still, like every human endeavor, occasional departures from the norm are inevitable. And Kevin Ellison, the friendly man who hasn't shared his name in 5 years, says that his very best day of slugging was extremely atypical.
A young woman with a sports car picked up the three of us. It was in the middle of the summer. As we were leaving the district, it was very slow and hot. And she turned around and she told us, okay, it's hot now, but don't worry, once we hit the road, I'll be going fast and you'll cool off.
Sure enough, once she hit the highway, she floored it. Ellison remembers the exhilaration of speeding under the open sky.
The wind blowing in my face, I had to hold on to my eyeglasses to make sure they didn't blow off.
It was the first time, Ellison says, he had ever been in a speeding sports car. a radical departure from slug routine that, he says, he will never forget.